Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It is wonderful to be with you on this Monday morning. We have a lot to talk about. I am going to share with you a video. It's going to take about 1 minute. There's a message in here. You have to pay extremely careful attention to. Okay, this is reality at its highest level. You need to hear this. You need to understand this. We need to know what time it is in the economy of Yahweh, and we need to understand what's going on in our world today. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world of the news, the Russian collusion, exonerations, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about all that in a little bit, but we have got to really embrace, from my understanding, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, as a Christian man, we must embrace what is genuinely going on around us, because quite frankly, I think we're mature enough to know that while there is a tremendous amount of newsworthy information that basically reveals to us the signs of the times as we look through the biblical lens, that there's always something deeper. There's another layer. There's something being hidden. There's something secret. There's something else going on while the distraction of the masses is looking over here. Okay, it's the magician's trick. There's no doubt. And we live in that kind of an age, and we're trying to stay on top of it. And thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the men and women that are studying, and they're burying their hearts and their minds in the Word of God. And they are able to look up and see what's going on in the world and understand. So I'm going to share with you a video here. It's about a 1 minute, maybe just about a 1 minute message. And I believe it's going to guide us into the conversation that we are going to have this morning. And I'm just considering whether or not I should share what's in my heart first or play the video. I want to make sure that everybody today is going to get on board on your telephone, your driving, your pads, your, if you're listening to omegaradio.org, God bless you. Welcome. There's a telephone line that you're going to be able to call in a little bit. Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife, will be joining me in about 30 minutes. She'll come and take the microphone next to me, and we'll have more of a dialogue. We're going to open up the lines and hear the voice of many waters. And so really pay attention to what you're about to hear. And I'm thankful for the individual that sent me this 1 minute video. And I'm thankful for the work that is going on in our world today. So I think what I'll do, let me just say this about New Zealand. Okay, this is going to give you a little bit of advanced caution to where we're going. New Zealand, a tragedy. Okay, there's no doubt a tragedy is safe to say at this point is allegedly, right? However, there's something is going on in New Zealand. And every once in a while, how many of you know that there are foreign locations or places that are not, you know, normally, you know, in the limelight of the news or what's going on in the world? New Zealand is a pretty quiet place for the most part. I mean, how much do you hear coming out of New Zealand other than an earthquake or something like that that happens? And what we just learned is that in New Zealand, 50 Muslim worshipers on a Friday afternoon were shot and killed by a man who had his agenda. Okay, this is the story that we have been told. And it's very interesting to me that this was all surrounding a mosque, two mosques, Muslims, the war that's going on in that direction. Now, the scariest thing, and I want to get through the shooting and the killing, the tragedy of even one person. You know, we have to understand that when one person is unnecessarily shot and killed, it is a tragedy. It is a tragedy when a human being no longer has an opportunity for a senseless murder. Okay, we're talking about senseless killings at any level is tragic, period. Okay, so the scary part, the part that we should be paying attention to, is the aftermath of what happened. 9/11/2001, we were told that Islamic Al-Qaeda operatives flew airplanes into the Twin Towers, and that was a tragic day. But what happened afterwards, whether it was a false flag event, whether it was the real people doing it or not, something happened afterwards, i.e. the Patriot Act, the invasive move of the government power to begin to spy and watch, and the NSA and all these things, and control and banks and on and on and on. Okay, we lost a lot of freedom and liberty, but people were saying that's okay. And someone once mentioned the fact that the day will come, the people will give up their liberty for protection, and that they actually deserve neither liberty or protection if they're willing to give up the freedoms that were fought for, particularly in our country. Now, the aftermath of what happened in New Zealand. I was watching last week a video of the 2 minute silence that was taking place in New Zealand throughout the entire country of New Zealand. There were 2 minutes that everybody on that terra firma earth, that part of the world, were silent. And during that time, the Islamic call for prayer was heard throughout the land. And the video captured the people, the prime minister. She had a hijab, she had a scarf. All of her people around her that were females wore the scarf. And you need to see this. This is just a genuine fact, okay? And here was the thing that the Spirit of God showed me as I'm watching this. The Islamic call to prayer, and all the people silently bowing their heads in a 2 minute moment of reflection for the loss of the lives of these Muslims. In one direction, it appears to be very innocent, very loving, very kind. But what was really revealed, the truth of the matter, was that the people of New Zealand lost their rights to carry semi-automatics. They were banned. There was gun confiscation. Don't forget that. That was real. Semi-automatic weapons have been banned in New Zealand. And the people looked subdued. The people of New Zealand looked subdued with the 2 minutes of silence as the Islamic call for prayer was heard throughout the land. And you've seen images of prisoners of war. You've seen images where people get caught into the gulags or they get into some kind of prison or a concentration camp. You ever see the images of people in the concentration camps totally subdued by their enemies? There's no way out. They're just absolutely under control and their lives are hanging in the balance. Okay. Well, when I was looking at the video of the New Zealanders that had given their 2 minutes and allowed the call of Islamic prayer, and then the Muslim cleric stood up and said, we must deal with these white supremacists, because it was a white man. And the white supremacist theology, the narrative today, is obviously against white nationalism, racism, Donald Trump, Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman who is a Somali from that Minnesota area, has blamed Trump for what has happened. Okay, we know that, but I want to focus again on the people of New Zealand that appeared on the video to be extremely subdued. Now, in Islamic theology, this is the goal. This is the agenda, to subdue the people under Allah. Now, you're going to hear, I think it's time now, I just give you that little opening. Here is a 1 minute video. You're not going to be able to see it, but it's a woman that is speaking on education in America. Now, she's speaking to a Muslim body. She is speaking about the goals of Islam. Give yourself full attention to listen to what she's saying. And here we go. All right. Pay very, very special attention.
Education is one of the most important areas that Muslims have to address. And while our objective, our final objective, is not just to become part of the system that we experience now and that we see, our objective, our final objective, is to create our own Islamic systems, and not only create Islamic systems for Muslims, but to look at all the other people who are sharing this country with us as potential Muslims. And if we look at them as potential Muslims and feel that we have the obligation, which Allah has told us, to try to bring them into the same style of thinking, into the same way of behaving, into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim, then we have to have some actual short-range goals. We have to have some way of dealing with them and know how we're going to deal with them and in which ways, and be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals. And be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals. And be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals.
All right, so here you have the outspoken and stated long-term goal and agenda of Islam, is to take the entire population of America and to bring them under Islam. Now, if you didn't hear that, I want to play that again for you. Just listen to the outstated long-term goal.
Way of behaving into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim.
In that long-term process of making America Muslim, all America Muslim. And you see, while we're looking at what's going on in the news, well, we're watching the floods of Nebraska and Iowa, as we're looking at the hurricanes, as we're watching the fires in California, as we're seeing for 2.5 years the Mueller investigation and the battle between the left and the right. There is what I used to call the termite that is eating away at the foundation, tearing down the pillars, and the house of cards ready to fall. There is an element within our society that has a stated agenda, an outspoken goal to transform America, all America, to become Muslims, to set up systems of Islam, Sharia. Now, the amazing thing about Muslims, now, I need to tell you this. For those of you who don't know, when I was in the third grade, I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey, and I was going to a public school, and it was my responsibility to teach Walid and Khalid. Walid and Khalid were from Iran. They were new in New Jersey. They used to get beat up and picked on all the time. I came to their defense again and again. I don't know why. I don't know why Walid and Khalid, they were in our neighborhood. They were my friends. I didn't have any particular angst against them because of where they came from. It really didn't matter to me. And Walid and Khalid and I were good friends. And so it was also my job to teach them how to read. But the Paul Bafudos of the third grade would constantly pick fights with them. And obviously their parents were telling them some things that they needed to know about these dangerous Muslims and so on and so forth. Well, here's the reality. This Islamic invasion, this Islam, has a stated goal. It has an agenda. And they know, after so many years, and I was going to tell you this, that the Muslims, Arabs, is where the game of chess came from. Now, that may not sound too important to anybody, but chess is really an art of war. It is strategy. And the Arabs created this game, and there are people that will play one game of chess, and it will take them a year to play a game because of the long-term strategy. And that's so unique about chess. And every single move on the board is designed to do something. When you're playing it from a mindset of strategy, you may move a piece on the far right side of the board while intending to do something over here. So you're constantly trying to get the attention of your opponent to something happening over here. And unless they pick it up, they don't know that there's something ready to happen on the other side of the board. Well, chess is all about patience. It's moving. You know, some people have the ability to think 6 moves ahead, 8 moves ahead, 10 moves ahead. They have this ability to strategize, and it takes a lot of patience because your opponent sometimes will make a move that was uncalculated, and they'll just kind of mess things up, and you have to navigate around their move. And so it's a game of patience. Now, the Muslims who created this game, the Arabs that created the game of chess, are very strategic, and time to them matters very little as far as them becoming victorious in their agenda. Okay, they have an agenda. You just heard it. It is this outstated goal, okay, the outspoken goal is to subdue the systems of the United States of America. Now, they're going for the big boy, right? They're going for the big boy. In New Zealand right now, they've already subdued them. They've got them now coming and being silent and hearing the call of prayer and the spirit of Islam in that particular part of the world, the disarmament of the people. It is a subduing process. And so now they have been working inside the United States of America for years, for many years. In fact, the video that I just shared with you came from 1986. In 1986, the Muslim mindset was to transform America, all America, to Islam, to change the Constitution to Sharia, to change the Islamic system of taxation to the jizya tax, because only a subdued people will pay the jizya tax, which is a tax of the conquered. And so what is it that we are witnessing and that I believe is very serious? Because, you know, when you're working so long within a nation, you have to wait for that moment of opportunity, that kairos moment in the reality of God, right? And so what is it that Islam is looking at right now? Right now, we saw the Islamic invasion into Europe, And we know that Muslims were on a, you know, the and who are these Muslims? Okay, that's very important from a biblical point of view. Have to understand that the Bedouins, the Arabs, and I'm going to read to you a few articles here in just a moment, that this is none other than the wild ass of a man spoken of in the book of Genesis chapter 16 and in chapter 20, which we're going to look at. But Ishmael, the firstborn son of Abraham, is the wild ass of a man. Okay, we're going to talk about him from a Judeo-Christian perspective. Okay, we're going to take a look at this man. And we have to understand who he is. His hand is against every man's hand, and every man's hand is against him. So what is he waiting for? Jihad? Quietly, underground, and yet we saw these splashes of reality that they are in the earth today. The wild man is in the earth today. He's in Bali. He's in Spain. He's in London. He's in the United States. He was in San Bernardino. He was in Orlando, Florida. I mean, he's everywhere. Ishmael is everywhere around the world. What is he waiting for? Well, here's what everybody knows, that a house divided cannot stand. While people today are hailing the victory, we all should. Trump won. That's the story. Trump won. Exoneration. Well, the left is saying, no, it's not. So while the left and the right are so divided like rivals rather than one nation under God, the enemy knows this is an opportune season for them to accomplish their goals. A house divided cannot stand. And while we've all been looking at the Trump thing, we've seen two Muslim women come to power in Congress with a lot of socialists and a new Democratic Party that is sweeping through the party. We're witnessing these types of things within our society, and yet it is still very hidden, but their agenda is out in the open. It's been out in the open. Barack Hussein Obama filled the Oval Office, not with evangelical Christians, but with the Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, and other Islamic groups that support Hamas. In fact, there are groups today that were they were non-indicted, but they were conspirators of sponsoring terrorism. Okay, we could even move into that realm of thinking in just a bit. But listen to this particular. I thought this was very good. This was a little conversation from a rabbi about the wild man. And I want you to know this is biblical. We're not making this up. And this little article begins with Ishmael, a wild man. The Torah tells us just before the time that Ishmael is conceived that Hagar's son Ishmael would be a, which, and they give you the Hebrew, the para Adam, and it means a phrase whose syntax literally means a wild one in the form of a man, although it is typically translated simply as wild man. Now, the Ramban interprets that same phrase, wild man, in the following way. And here's the interpretation of wild man. The correct interpretation is that wild man is a construct form, meaning that he will be a wild ass man, accustomed to the wilderness, going forth to his work, seeking for food, devouring all, and being devoured by all. Now that's Ramban, the commentary on the Torah. Okay, and that was from Charles Shavel Trans. Okay. Now Rabbi Hirsch says that a wild man cannot bear constraint. He who has no constraint will be contrary to and in everyone's face. We add that constraint here can also be understood as the constraint of reason. Now, this is what Rabbi Hirsch wrote, and I quote, "He will quietly take up and maintain his unreasonable position in spite of all his brothers. Nobody will be his friend, and still nobody will dare to oppose him." what's going on in New Zealand right now. So the principal character traits of a wild man is power, passion, and lust. Whatever a wild man does, it is done with power, a power over. And in the deed itself, there is a hot-headed emotional passion and lust. Allahu Akbar, right? So Rabbi Mandelbaum writes about the wild man, and I quote, "Onkelos understand this statement to mean that Ishmael will rebel against all mankind. Ibn Ezra adds that Ishmael unrestrained among people. The Ramban says that these verses relate to Ishmael's offspring wreaking havoc on everyone and vice versa. His descendants will wage war against all the nations," he concludes. Rabbi Weitzman quotes Rabbi Chaim Vital, and here's what he says. "Other nations have always ruled over each other, but not Ishmael, who have always been desert nomads, who have no regular contact with others. They are like robbers who go out to rob others and then return to their tents. As it says, he will be a wild man." And then the Targum, Onkios, on this verse conveys the same idea. It translates a wild man as one who kills people. And regarding Ishmael, the Torah further tells us that his hand would be against every man and every man's hand against him. And over all his brothers he shall dwell. Now, from this, we understand two things. First, that wherever the descendants of Ishmael go, they will be troublesome and aggressive, i.e. Europe, i.e. Spain, i.e. London. They will start fights and initiate struggles to have power over others. Second, that one of the descendants of Ishmael will dominate and have power over the others. Well, Daniel Pipes, in his book, In the Path of God, Islam and Power, studies 50 countries in which Muslims live, either as a majority or a minority. It made no difference whether they were Sunni Muslims or Shiite Muslims. The story was the same in each country. There was sectarian strife, violence, insurrection, and terrorism, not once, but repeatedly. Now, in another article, Ishmael, His Hand Against Every Man, it was written by Wayne Jackson. There's a story that is told, and I'm just going to get to the very bottom of it and listen to the very last verse. There's a lot to say here. Well, maybe I should go a little bit deeper, but let me just start at the beginning. Muslim terrorist attacks like that of September 11th, 2001, are not an expression of aberrant radicalism. It is Islam in its purest form. You see, what they told us, because in their Quran, every Muslim is permitted to lie to the infidel, to the goy, right, to the goyim. And we were told that, oh, you guys are talking about radical Islam. You're talking about elements that really aren't part of our peaceful religion. Well, that is not the truth. What happened on September 11th, if in fact it were by Muslims and allowed by the CIA or whatever the question, you know, the thoughts are about that, it would be the purest form of Islam. To San Bernardino, to all these different places where we've seen Islamic terrorism, we know that 4,000 Christians were murdered last year. Last year, 4,000 Christians at the hands of Islam. Women raped, towns burned. And so what are we looking at? Now, another friend sent me a video this morning, and it was titled that you'll never read the book of Revelation quite the same. Now, for anybody that's been following this ministry, you'll know that this is complementary to what the Spirit of God has been sharing with us as well. And it taught this gentleman, I think his name is Ciccolotti. I forget his name, but he's a great teacher. I love his expression of the gospel. Well, he brings out this information in a very palatable way, where he shows the four horses of the book of Revelation, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the green horse. And he comes to the conclusion that God was giving us a sign and communicating with us that in the last days, when you see these four colors, they have meaning to them. And of course, he picked up on the four colors of Islam, the Palestinian flag, the Afghanistan flag, the Jordan flag, the, you know, all these Islamic colors in the Middle East. And we have talked about this in time past. In fact, we didn't get the idea from anybody. We were studying the book of Revelation ourselves and came up with the idea and said, wow, look at that, because I saw a flag of Islam. And I thought, look at the colors in the book of Revelation. Look at the flag over there. So we went on a powerful word study with these things. And now everybody's got it, right? Because the Holy Spirit's giving wisdom to everybody. And it's a sign to us. And so I constantly go back to 9/11/2001, and I have a lot of friends that know it was an inside job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, CIA operations, blah, blah, blah. Nonetheless, Al-Qaeda was used, okay, because mystery, Babylon, rides the beast. She steers it. She uses it for her own understanding and her own will and her own way. So what are we talking about here in the first 30 minutes of the broadcast? It's something that we've talked about on several occasions, many times, in our time on the radio, and it's something that has to be spoken of again, because you're seeing it rise again, but it's rising in a different form. It's rising with new Congress people involved in our government. It's rising with understanding of the stealth jihad that is taking place in the world today. And again, I want to just go back and remember what I saw in New Zealand, a people subdued, and it was very frightening. And once you're in that concentration camp, once you are subdued, once you come under the power of the enemy, once you submit yourself willingly or forcibly, you become the servants of those people. You become their slaves. And we just saw an entire country bow. They bowed, received the mark, if you will, of Islam. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you this morning, loved one?
I am doing just fine, even in light of what we heard. My goodness, how deep does this go? And you know what it reminded me of? In the scriptures, where the Lord God Almighty said, if you desire to corrupt your nation, if you desire to walk in darkness, other nations will come and subdue you and have you for their desires. And you know what I also believe need to be said in this situation is we need to know the Quran, because if we know the Quran, we will understand more of their heart. Now you may say, well, that's their book and some go buy it and some don't. No, you must understand something very specific. If a Muslim does not go by the Quran, they have a right to be killed. Now, this is a kind of mentality and mindset operating in the people in which are coming upon the Western civilization and in this nation now. So the Quran, I'm going to give some ideas so you can look for yourself and find out and not be ignorant anymore. The Quran says that those who invoke a God other than Allah. Now, let me clarify here. Allah is not the God Almighty that we serve as Christians. No, he's an angel of light, meaning that he has a title of God, but is not God. In fact, there is another spirit operating in him that is a huge spirit that you've all heard in the past. And what that name is, I will leave it to you to find out, and we'll discuss it later. But Allah not only should meet, oh, let me go back, to invoke a God other than Allah. Now, this is in the Quran. Not only should meet punishment in this world, but the penalty on the day of judgment will be doubled to them, and they will dwell therein in ignominy. That's Quran 25:68. For those who believe not in Allah and his messenger, he has prepared for those who reject Allah a blazing fire, although we are asked to be compassionate among this kind of thinking, what do you think you're going to believe in the near future when this is being pressed and very cleverly designed by a spirit of deception into this nation? In fact, already has begun.
Well, amen. And I'm so glad that you're bringing up the Quranic scriptures. Some people have sought to read the Quran. It's one of the most confusing books on the planet. And yet the Muslim world is following it because their clerics are giving interpretation to what it really means. And then there are these very plain scriptures that are out there. So, Patricia, what I find amazing about this moment, and while everybody's looking at, the Vatican, and there are people that are looking at so many different aspects of global government, the United Nations, and we need to look at every single one of them because every single one of them have a place and a part in what is going on in the world today. But I think one of the most revealing things in the Word of God about the times that we're in is found in Revelation chapter 6. And that's where you get those four horses, each one of them having a color. And the very first horse is the white horse. And the white horse rider has a bow, and the word bow in the Greek is toxin, and the word toxin actually means to bring forth the beginning of sorrows like a woman in travail. And many people have connected the Revelation chapter 6, the first four horses, with Matthew 24, the things that Jesus said would be taking place with wars, deception, famines, pestilences. Well, when you put them side by side, Matthew 24, Revelation chapter 6, you see that what Jesus called these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, in the book of Revelation, in the last days, when it's ready to commence and go forward, the white horse has the actual meaning in the word bow to bring forth the beginning of sorrows like a woman in travail. Then those other colored horses come, and it's a people group. Horses always represent a people group. Out of Zechariah chapter 10, Judah is my goodly horse for the battle. And so the horses represent people groups. The color of these horses are telling us in our world today who they are. It is Islam. And then we get over to Revelation chapter 13, and we find a beast. And everybody's wanting to know who is this beast. And yet what the Bible actually explains it itself in Revelation chapter 13, who the beast is, and all we have to do is read the description, and I'll just be brief in this. It says in Revelation 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Notice this is a singular beast. It has seven heads, which we'll talk about in Revelation 17. It has 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay, blasphemy. Allah has no son, right? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. He had the feet of a bear, and he had the mouth of a lion. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, you find out that they're the singular nations, the leopard, the bear, and the lion, represented Greece, Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire. Well, they were singular. They were one after the other. But by the time you get to Revelation 13 in the last days, you have a caliphate, a gathering together of all those ancient nations. And then by the time we get to Revelation 17, we see that the Antichrist, the man of sin, Lucifer, the son of perdition, the embodiment of all evil, the huios, mature son of the devil, will be the leader of the Islamic world. They call him the Mahdi, and he will take power over all the ancient empires. He is made up of the seven. And so with everything in scripture going all the way back to generation is talking about an Islamic beast, an empire, a caliphate in the last days. And not only does Islam bring the beginning of sorrows, which we've seen since 9/11, 2001, but they will bring the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth in Revelation chapter 13.
You know, when I consider the book of Revelation in the Bible, that is the most incredible book when revealed. And it is the times in which we're in that God is granting us to understand its revelation. And it is being revealed. And honey, I remember 18 years ago, you brought up this truth about the various horses that is so spoken of in the book of Revelation, and these horses representing Islam. And you brought it up multitudes of times in various places, and yet people just looked upon you as, well, that looks like a good idea, but...
Yeah, too many cupcakes, ding-dongs, and all of that. But we really started talking to this about 7 years ago when it was really was a loud dawning. Islam has always, because of something you taught like 20, nearly 30 years ago, when you were teaching out of Ezekiel chapter 38, and you put all those nations that were mentioned into modern times, and you brought up the Ishmael. Reality in one of your teachings, and we kind of grabbed hold on that, and through the years have been putting it together, and then the Holy Spirit, I believe, is just revealing to us. And why do we talk about this? Because the subduing power of Islam, it's a satanic principality and power. It's a world ruler that we haven't considered. Right now, Mystery Babylon is riding the beast, but eventually that beast turns upon her, burns her with fire, eats her flesh, and Islam, again, being shown to be the wild man. Why do we talk about these things? Because they're happening all around us, and we need to be prepared.
And Mystery Babylon, in case you don't know, is a type in shadow of the true Babylon that once was a reality in the areas of Iran and Iraq. And today it is rising up in a system. This has become a world system, Babylon. A world system in its character, in its waking up, in its knowledge of the true Babylon that existed at one time and took over the world. Now it has a spiritual concept to it. So it's amazing. The book of Revelation is amazing. And if you have not been interested in it, it is time now to awake. And the reason I believe God has called us to this work is he needs watchmen on the wall. He said he would bring forth in that time, and he has had it in the past, watchmen on the wall, so that there could be a warning to you as to what is happening in the earth today for the preparation of your soul, for the preparation of your spirit, for the preparation of your physical body. Get ready. The time has arrived.
Well, it certainly has. And for our listeners that may be just tuning in, I want to play this video. This was in 1986. This is from an Islamic teacher and educator. I want you to hear the words one more time, the stated and outspoken goal of Islam. Here we go.
Education is one of the most important areas that Muslims have to address. And while our objective, our final objective, is not just to become part of the system that we experience now and that we see, our objective, our final objective, is to create our own Islamic systems, and not only create Islamic systems for Muslims, but to look at all the other people who are sharing this country with us as potential Muslims. And if we look at them as potential Muslims and feel that we have the obligation, which Allah has told us, to try to bring them into the same style of thinking, into the same way of behaving, into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim, then we have to have some actual short-range goals. We have to have some way of dealing with them and know how we're going to deal with them and in which ways, and be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals. And be very
calculated about it. Patricia, this was not some wild-eyed fanatic with some, you know, rhetoric. This was the determined reality, and every person in that room is shaking their heads, nodding, all those professors, those educators.
So as Allah has told them and has spoken in the Quran 48:29, speaks in this manner, although we are asked to be compassionate amongst each other, we have to be harsh with unbelievers, our Christian, Jewish and atheist neighbors and colleagues. As for him who does not believe in Islam, The prophet announces with a stern command, seize ye him and bind ye him and burn ye him in the blazing fire. Further, make him march in a chain whereof the length is 70 cubits. This was he that would not believe in Allah Most High. Now, this is the Quran I'm speaking to you. This is not just a fantasy of words. This is actually what they believe. We've already seen it, part of this world. We have seen the sword come out and cut throats and kill and put on the cross, if you're a Christian, as Jesus Christ was put on, to be absolutely tortured until you cry out Allah. Now, this has come to the western part of the United States, I mean, this country, and in the United States. What are we to do, and how are we to be in a time such as this?
Patricia, the woman that was talking was sharing that the final objective, she used that term several times, the final objective is the Islamic systems being established in America. She also mentioned that the Americans are sharing this country with us. In other words, she already took that position of being the rightful owners of the land. She stated that the long-term goal of Islam is to Islamicize America with its systems. Those systems would be Sharia. Those systems would be their own taxation. It would be the Quran. It would be all these things. Now, we had a president who was a Islamic Indonesian by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, i.e. Barry Satoro. He was also communistic in nature because he was trained up by the Saul Alinskys and the other folks out there that were moving in that direction of socialism, communism. And he was surrounding this White House that he was in with the Muslim Brotherhood, CARE, all these different groups, being sympathizing with them, making war with Israel. So after 8 years of that, we were on the brink of total devastation and destruction had Hillary Clinton come in, who was also communist and studied Saul Alinsky and all these different things. We know about that. She was for everything that God condemns and hates. So now we have an American president by the name of Donald J. Trump, who has been fighting for 2.5 years, our own countrymen on the left, the CNN News Network, all these different things, fighting against him because he's putting a block on the advancement. And it must have been the prayers of the people of God, the sons and daughters of Yahweh who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who saw something and did pray. And thank God for that. Donald Trump was an answer to many prayers as we were praying for Josiah. He has come to resist, but Patricia, they are pressing. 2020 is next year. We're already in 2019. 2020 is next year. There's going to be a major controversy because these forces of darkness and evil are pushing their way, and it will ultimately fulfill Bible prophecy. We've got to make sure we understand our place in this moment.
It is literally a war between Satan and the true God. That's what it's all about. The spirit of darkness against the spirit of light, warring for what is absolutely the truth, except Satan doesn't have one bit of time that is going to give him victory. No, he's not going to have it, according to the book of Revelation, in which we have. And another thing that is spoken of in the Quran is our holy book, and they call the Quran their holy book, asks us to be disobedient toward the disbelievers and their governments and strive against the unbelievers with great endeavor. That's Quran 25:52. And be stern with them because they belong to hell. That's in the 66th, 9th verse in the Quran. Now, I'll tell you, body of Christ, and those who are listening, we have the victory. If we would rise up in the spirit and know who we are, because the Bible tells us we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spirits in high places that desire and ruling spirits to take over this world. But we have been given the victory through Jesus Christ on the cross, who overcame the work of the evil one, of Satan. Satan is the great deceiver, and this is what he's doing now. Allah is not the true God. Allah is the great deceiver and has deceived nations. But this war has started in the very, almost the very beginning of the Bible. Absolutely. And you could read about it way back 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Or around that, you know.
More like about 4,000 years. It does go back to the beginning with the seed of Satan.
No, I think it's longer than that.
Yeah, but like the seed of Satan with Cain and Abel and all that stuff. But your Ishmael persecuting Isaac goes back to the days of Abraham, about 4,000 years. However, we need to answer this question while we open the lines right now for questions. Why are Patricia and I sharing these things with you today? Is it to create phobias, Islamophobia or any other phobia? No. Absolutely not. You know better than that. The purpose for sharing these things is to prepare you not to bow, not to capitulate, not to yield, ultimately, not to receive the mark of the beast. And if the beast truly is Islamic in nature, and when you see it put together in its caliphate form in Revelation 13 and in Revelation 17, you begin to better understand, well, what that mark might be. Is it an RFID chip, or is the mark of the beast Sharia law, the system that they want to put in place? Is it the mark of Islam? Is the mark of the beast Islam, like we see in New Zealand, people allowing the Muslim call, the subdued people of that land? What is it? Is it the Hadith? Is it a replacement of the Constitution? Is it the systems of Islam? What is it? Well, the time comes that whoever receives the mark is going to be beheaded or killed or put in prison, and the people of God are told not to bow. So we're not telling you to create a phobia. We're telling you these things so that when the time comes and the Islamic sword is upon the throat, we will not surrender our faith in Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that blasphemy is written on the very walls of the Dome of the Rock.
If we go to Psalms 91, we will be absolutely protected. Read that psalm. Put it into your heart. This is the will of God for us now. We are victorious. We already are. And there was another that was said in the Quran that I want all to hear by the holy prophet, which would be Muhammad. They call him a holy prophet, prescribes fighting for us. He is telling the people, the Muslim, that fighting for us, and tells us that it is good for us, even if we dislike it. In other words, he is fighting for them, and even if they dislike what they have to do, it is good for them. What a difference between that religion and the one of Christianity that says, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. What a big, huge difference in gods. Oh my goodness. And then the prophet advises them to strike off the heads of the disbelievers. We are asked to help disbelievers to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracle of the cross. And then the false prophet also says, and after making a wide slaughter among them, carefully tie up the remaining captives. That's in 47:4 of the Quran. And then it goes on to say, our God has promised to instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Well, that's what terrorists do, don't they? And has ordered us to smite above their necks and smite all their fingertips off of them. Quran 8:12. Isn't that sweet?
Well, what a book that guides people. So, perfect love casts out all fear, and we are told to love our enemies, and that is a huge place in everything. We want to open the telephone lines right now for your questions or comments this morning. The number to call is 818-369-0326. If you're listening anywhere in the world, the number is 818-369-0326. We welcome your calls. If you're listening by phone right now, just press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation. This should be a stimulating conversation for all of God's people. And you may say, well, we've heard all this before, but let me ask you a question. Have you noticed while you were sleeping that suddenly there are two Muslim women in Congress and a socialist by the name of AOC? Have you really been awake and watching and paying attention? Let's take our first call coming in from 479-855. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
I have a question about how the Russian communists and China tie into this. They're a bunch of atheists that don't believe in Jesus Christ, but both of those countries, how do they tie in with the Muslim?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, this goes into Revelation chapter 17 when you realize that the beast has seven heads. And there's a history between Islam and communism. They both were intrinsic in the Bolshevik Revolution and the killing of the Jews. Even though their ideologies are millions of miles apart in their ideology, they have formed alliances in times past to deal with a common enemy. And so eventually you will see communism as one of the heads of this beast, and you're going to see even aspects of Rome, aspects of Greece. I mean, this is a multifaceted beast, but the fact of the matter right now that Russia is passing more laws in favor of Christians than the United States of America. And Putin is literally condemning the United States by saying, you guys are worshiping the devil more than you are the King of Glory. Wow. But eventually, yes, the dragon, remember, the great dragon, he's a red dragon. In my understanding of Scripture, you have these major players of the beast, Babylon, and the great red dragon. And I believe that we are going to see an alliance out of the United Nations. And the great dragon was Egypt in the book of Ezekiel. The great red dragon is the symbol of China today. So I happen to believe that communism is going to give power to Islam and that they are going to work together in a common goal to destroy Jews and Christians off the face of the earth. That's my take on it. And I think it was an excellent question.
It is an excellent question. And here's the great dichotomy. The great dichotomy is that while we're trying to protect ourselves here in this country at this time against this diabolical move of Muslims.
Islam, yeah.
I hate to say it, you know, but it's true.
It is diabolical.
It's true. While that is happening.
Because it's blasphemous.
It is blasphemous. It is. It's blasphemy. But while that is happening in Iran, Pakistan, multitudes of Muslims are turning to Christianity, and it's happening rapidly. And so as this is happening to forward the Muslim movement in the United States of America, maybe what God is giving us here is an opportunity to win them to Christ, and it may be a last opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great point. Yes, the evangelization of all these people groups in the world is powerful, and that's why we say way to go, and to witness to Muslims and to love Muslims where we meet them. However, you're going to see the turning tide where in the Muslim mindset, you are the infidel, you are the enemy, and you will bow and you will be subdued by the power of Islam, because he's going to send his Mahdi, he's going to send his prophets, he's going to send victory and conquest and success. The beginning of sorrows has begun. Let's take one more call before we get off the air, coming in from area code 605. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
I agree with a lot of the things that you're bringing out. That's very good. And, you know, our allegiance, who are we going to give our allegiance to? No matter where you live, who you are, and the Bible does state that that's what it's going to come down to, because I was reading the Revelations, and it says about that mark of the beast, which is, that's where it's going, and it says that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, because this thing is going to be so strong, apparently, upon the whole earth. But then there is that remnant that Patricia was talking about. So we need to, it behooves us to believe that we need to get into our place right now. You know, I was just driving my car the other day, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and then I got an interpretation from the tongues, and the Lord said, I'm preparing my bride. I'm getting my bride ready, and it was so beautiful. The feeling I felt, I was just like, oh, this is the Lord, and this is the time period we're in, and boy, this is a cleansing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. You are welcome, and God bless you for that comment. We'll have more time tomorrow to talk about these things. We'll see what brings about today. If you're listening to the Omega Radio Network, or you want to get over to omegaradio.org, go ahead and do so. There's a great conversation begun with the Christian Bill of Rights Roundtable Discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. Continue listening on the Omega Radio Network. God bless you. Yes, Patricia?
Just remember one thing. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen. Right now on the Omega Radio Network Roundtable Discussion. God bless everybody. Have a blessed day. Keep your head looking up into the heavens. We'll see you tomorrow.